CliffCentral.com.
Here we go. Yeah. There we go. How's that for this morning's little wake up? AJR and bang. Bang. it's not usually the thing you want to hear first thing in the morning, but you do. Who doesn't want to bang first in the morning, you know? That's what you want. Hell yeah. John Sane is going to join us a little bit later on. You know him. He's been on the show a couple of times. He's a futurist. He's an author. He's just put out a new book. And he says that 2020 has got him thinking very differently, and maybe we should be thinking differently too. How's that?
Okay.
Mm, very interesting and very nice. Very nice. It is nice. Have you seen Borat yet?
I think I might this weekend.
Yeah, I think you must.
And per your recommendation.
Yeah, you just watch it. I mean, you won't be sorry. So, okay, let's get cracking. First of all, Amy says, morning, Gareth. The Burning Platform was 10 out of 10 yesterday. I love how Pumi took it to Helen Zille and how Helen defended herself. There are zero shows, both in South Africa or the world, where opposing views are forced to confront each other, and we need more of this. Okay, cool. Sia, a different Sia, says, I've done something horrible to you, Sia, because you used to be so optimistic when he started to listen to the show, but now his soul is dying. Oh my God, is that what I'm guilty of? I've killed Sia's soul. I think it's just called getting older and dealing with reality. Like, Sia's still got that idealistic stuff going, but have I pulled it out of you? Have I pulled your soul out?
2020's done that, Sia. Jesus. Don't worry.
Oh my God, I don't want to be blamed for that. What a horrible thing. Sia, you're not allowed to listen to the show anymore. Carl says, no, sorry, it's Linda who says, don't shit your pants with excitement now, Sia. All right.
Oh, so shame, Sia.
All right, so we're talking about Friday the 13th and 2020 being such a shit year. And Leanne says she's got a foolproof way for us to feel better about things.
Yes, I do. Sorry, okay. I'm struggling with the cat tail.
Your cat,
in my face.
Your cat is showing us its asshole constantly.
You need those. She needs one of those little gems. You put it on their tail, at the base of their tail, and it's got a disc that covers the bum hole.
Oh my God! Really? Oh, sorry, I don't know what that was.
For some dignity.
Okay, so tell me.
So, if you Google, lips and teeth.
T-E-E-F.
Teeth, but you spell it T-E-E-F.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll see videos that will put you in a good mood no matter what.
All right, so what are these?
And teeth.
Just explain what it is, and then I'll try and play it so that people can get some idea of
what
it is.
It's the newest TikTok trend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a song, a cute song,
right,
about lips getting stuck on teeths.
Okay.
In fact, if you Google teeths, so plural, T-E-E-F-S.
Okay.
And the song is about, and then you the challenge is to find videos of dogs, cats, whose lips get stuck on their teeth.
Teeths.
On their teeth.
Let me just play. Let me play it. Up. Here it is, quickly, so that you can. If you're watching the show with us this morning and you're watching us live, then you'll see. But I'll try and explain what's happening. So it's this little dog, and it's got its teeth bared, but it's a tiny little. It looks like a very old chihuahua.
Well, they're going to be lots.
Okay, so
sometimes my lips sometimes get stuck on my teeth. Teeth, you think it looks weird, but I can't help it.
Oh no,
my lip just get stuck on my teeth. Deal with it.
Oh, Leanne, I hate this already.
Sometimes my lips sometimes get stuck on my teeth. Teeth, you think it looks weird, but I can't help it. Oh no.
So a whole lot of people have taken the song and they've filmed their own dogs doing this, right?
Yes.
This is like the Baby Shark and a whole lot of other stuff that I just can't stand. I'm sorry. It's you, and I'm an animal lover, so I should love this, but this is really childish and annoying.
Oh, man.
This is what I aim to do on this show. We like note different things, or we contribute different stories. I, even though I put it together, I don't like to read up in advance of what you all have sent, just so that we have a natural response on air. And then sometimes we we land on.
How did you find this shit?
And you go, what is this?
How did you find this shit?
I wish I read up on this. No,
I watch TikTok. I'm like pretty obsessed with it.
Let me guess, you have at least spent a solid 20 minutes watching a compilation of that.
More.
Oh my God. That is terrible. More. Don't you wish you hadn't wasted your whole like 4 hours? Because that's probably
what you spent. I love it.
And do you now know the song off by heart?
Yeah, sometimes my lips get stuck on my teeth and then it goes, teeth. Yeah, no, I it's good for me.
Oh God, what a stupid thing for a Friday. This is definitely going to be one of those mornings.
Good for you, Leanne. Oh, yeah. Good for you. That is what
it takes very little to please me, you know.
Yeah,
it's as silly as what Amazon are currently doing, but you know what, there's always an audience for something. Amazon says that 2020 has been so stressful and anxiety inducing for all of us. So in a couple of days time, they'll be hosting a 24-hour live stream called The Pack Presents 24 Hours of Positivity. You're just going to see puppies.
Oh my
doing
word.
What puppies do.
I do love puppies.
Oh man, love
puppies. But 24 hours of this, come on now.
But sometimes
it's not enough.
Sometimes my lips get stuck on my teeth.
Get stuck on my teeth. Teeth.
Oh God, that's going to be like an earworm all day for me today. I hate you, Leanne. What have you done?
Oh, so silly. Hey, here's something else that I was watching and I got intrigued by yesterday. At first, I thought it was just like a mere prank video, but there's a whole business side to this as well. Just straight up for some context, there's this guy by the name of Uber Butler, and Uber's OOBAH, and he has an app and a website called Uber.com.
Yeah.
Where he helps you arrange an impersonator or body double to help you do things you don't want to do.
Oh, wow.
What?
So like what? Give me an example.
Like the video that I watched yesterday in particular, this guy, his name's Steven, is from Maryland in the US, didn't want to go to his high school reunion. And his particular reasons were a little deeper, though, because he was bullied in high school and said that he hadn't amounted to what he feels was much out of high school. So
clearly, if you're hiring a body double, you probably haven't amounted to much. What a loser. I would have just avoided my high school reunion. I didn't go to my high school reunion. What the hell's this guy's problem? So he wants to send a body double?
And he did. He sent a slightly more attractive body double than him.
Yes, I was going to say, that's exactly what I would do. I'd get a thinner, prettier me to go.
To just set this scene of him being so accomplished after school and he did such great things. Well, long story short, it didn't even work out because his former high school pupils or students were able to sniff out that it's not the real him.
How embarrassing. That's terrible. So he not only had to pay someone to go and be a body double at a party he didn't go to, which is just so stupid on so many levels.
Yeah.
But he also got caught out.
But I didn't know this is a thing. So now just
I think it's amazing. I've got a lunch to go to towards the end of the month that I really don't want to go to.
So don't go.
I would send that person.
So don't go. Why would you do this to yourself?
It's a family commitment.
But just say you can't make it. It's so easy to say no.
You cannot say no to my mother. You can't.
No. All right.
Not since her stroke. She's become so stubborn.
Just say to her, I'll give you another stroke.
She'll just laugh at me.
But I can't think of a place where you could send a body double and would be convincing. A high school reunion almost worked because so much time has passed. Your mother would know if it wasn't the real you.
Yeah, if you have to talk, I think it would be a problem. So maybe it could be used for a funeral or something where you can just make an appearance and then leave before anyone speaks to you.
That could be good.
Yes.
That could be good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think
of a date you're now avoiding, like a first date you're now avoiding.
Yeah, maybe. But then what's the point? I mean, if you can't even meet someone on the first date because you're nervous or whatever, maybe you should just shouldn't go out. You shouldn't be, because how are you going to handle the second date? So if it goes well,
exactly.
Let's say the first date goes well and then, you know, she's like, yeah, this is great. And then you have to reintroduce yourself and explain why you don't look the same on the second date. That's going to be very weird. She's going to run for the hills and I wouldn't blame her.
No, it's still just one to the practicality of Anna. Someone standing in line for me, someone doing grocery shopping, just that.
And with that, it doesn't matter what you look like.
A friend of mine uses this service because one of his mates got retrenched during lockdown and he didn't have any work. And he started offering himself as a runaround guy. So he'll go and stand in the queue at Home Affairs for you. He'll do your grocery shopping for you. He'll go and drop off your laundry. It's kind of like having a butler on tap, right?
Mm.
And he's doing quite well, apparently. I mean, I haven't used any of his services, but this friend of mine says that he's, you know, like really good at doing the grocery shopping, and he'll go and get your license renewed at the traffic department and that kind of thing. So maybe there's a gap there that we're not seeing. But going as a body double, I mean, unless you're a third world dictator who doesn't want to be murdered by your own people, there's no point really. Saddam Hussein used to have doppelgangers for that purpose, so that, you know, you never knew whether you were killing the actual Saddam Hussein.
Mm.
That would be useful.
Or you know, it would have helped my parents when they would say as a kid that they came to my school concert. They're like, no, didn't you see me? I was there. And somehow I never pieced together. I was like, if you were there, why didn't I leave with you? And why did my grandfather have to come and pick me up afterwards?
your parents lied to you and said they came to your concert and they didn't.
Yeah, but you want to have quite a few children, so I can feel their pain.
I was a very slow child, evidently.
Jesus, that's funny. I'm sorry, Sia. That is hilarious.
That's definitely another way that a body double can be used.
Yeah.
You mean that they would, that when you got home from your concert, they'd be like, yeah, we saw it. You were great.
You were the best tree ever.
They've pulled that stunt a couple of times up until, let's say, like grade four, grade five. They just would flat out say, no way on coming.
I love your parents more every time you tell me a story about them. They just sound like, they sound like they were so hardcore and they just, you know, no bullshit with your parents. Fucking lying to you to try and make you feel better.
After the fourth one rolls around, you have no fucks to give.
Dude, I think that is so funny. Holy shit. Yeah, we don't really care about it. See, as like the fourth of our children. We're just over it. But he's in his first show. No, well, you know. It's not a big deal.
Really, not to sound like now I'm just like offloading with all of my emotional misery, but my mother has never been. No. She's been to my high school once in 5 years. Actually, on the property, she was on there once, and that was for grade 8 orientation, and then never again.
But Sia, your mother, to make things worse, your mother is a teacher.
Yeah.
So she.
But, nah.
This is just such an unbelievable level of not giving a fuck.
They probably heard you now, and they're looking for body doubles to go to your wedding, all sorts of things.
Because I fully admit I am petty. I do not. I always remind them of these moments. So my mother has to have a bit of an op next week. So she's coming up to Joburg, and she's meeting her doctor here. So guess who she'll be staying with?
You.
And guess who'll have to drive her around?
You.
And oh boy, will I be reminding her of all of these moments.
Yeah.
Look at how I'm here, the doctor's room with you.
Yeah. You know, I can imagine, I think when you do get married one day, your parents will be like, maybe we won't go.
Yeah. How long is it going to be, Sia?
I love it. God, that's great. That is so
Can we
good.
Speed this up now? We've got a lunch to go to.
I'm enjoying this. This is like Sia reliving the pain of his youth.
I've been I've been left for New Year's Eve before at home.
You were forgotten?
No, they just didn't want to take me to their friend's place. They said, like, okay, no, you can invite people over. And I was like 12. What could I do? So I just slept.
Shame. Shame. Okay, this is quite heartbreaking, actually. I'm going to try and be sympathetic here. Linda says, Sia, hopefully your mom won't remind you of that time that you shat your pants.
Okay, I'm done with this now.
Does your mom know?
God, you know what? I'm quiet.
Sia is taking such hits this morning. All right. Janet says, have you ever heard that song called No More Fucks to Give? It is hilarious on YouTube. I dedicate it to you, Sia. Mr. Schmangel says, Sia, are you sure you're not adopted?
It's plausible.
Ruth says, Melania Trump apparently has a body double. And you should watch the conspiracy.
Yes, I told you about that.
Yes, I know, but this is a conspiracy theory, right? And it's all over YouTube. That's what she says.
And it's all because the woman smiled wider than Melania ever has. And the joke was, why would she be smiling in Donald Trump's presence?
I just love all I know it's cruel and it's mean, but I do love all these Melania Trump memes that are coming out. Like the ones where they're like, I divorce you now. Now when Donald loses the presidency, it's like, hello, lawyer, I need a divorce. And they always, you can do it in her accent. You know what I mean? You have to almost sound like her when you say it. And it's always going to be this like sloppy Eastern European kind of slightly patronizing and probably quite racist voice. Because she does have an accent, but I'm reminded by people constantly of how she's actually a very well-educated woman and she speaks like a lot of languages. But it is funny to do that that Melania accent. And we've done it a couple of times on this show. Sia's face looks like he sounds now, says Tabo. Sad. Hands off Sia. He's already been sent a bunch of tenor pants. What are tenor pants?
Tenor is adult nappies.
Oh, adult nappies. Oh, wow. Sure. This morning's going well, Sia. You're going to have a great weekend.
Oh, delightful.
This is so nice. People are so nice to you today. All right. Hey, that guy who goes... Here we go. Sounds like Gareth in that song that you were playing at 7 o'clock. Okay, I didn't notice that. Mm. Sia, you don't have dreams. You have wants, like being a gazillionaire. No one is going to help you with your dream. Sure, that's nice. That's from Vinny, piling on this morning. Yeah, how's that?
Mm. Be the guy while he's down.
You know what? Sia's not going to share.
But it's also sad reality.
Sia's not going to share any of that Lotto Millions money with any of us if we carry on teasing him like this. Leanne, is your dog Joey still alive?
Yeah, it's not him barking. It's walking time in my suburb. He's hanging in there. He's very old, and he has lots of mini strokes every day.
Oy, oy. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
How do you know he's having a stroke?
Because his legs just go out and he lies like a spatchcock chicken on the floor. But he's happy. He's still 100% happy. He loves being at my side, you know, looking after me. He's a little watchdog. The cat that you saw earlier, she's getting on in age too. So between the two of them, I reckon this year or next might be their last.
Yeah, well, my mother's got an old Jack Russell called Miles, and he...
I've met Miles.
Jesus, just the most pathetic, ridiculous dog ever. My mother loves him. Every time any of us say anything about Miles, she's like, leave him alone. He's like her Down syndrome child, really. I mean, that's the only way to put it. And I mean no disrespect to the Down syndrome community, obviously. But Miles is like my special needs animal brother. My mother's just obsessed with this dog, and he's useless. He's shit at everything. He barks the whole time. He's deaf now because he's so old.
He's a Jack Russell, right?
Yeah, but barely. I mean, he looks like a mutant Jack Russell. He's like a chupacabra Jack Russell.
Oh, man. Oh, it's so tough getting so attached to these animals.
But he's so old, though, and, you know, she'll say something like, oh, maybe I should just take him to the vet. And then I'll say, well, you can, Mom. You know, maybe it's time. And she goes, how can you say that? But she's just said it.
Oh. Yeah, it's not the same.
She's tasting the waters. Yeah.
She's trying to make it so that I make the decision instead of her, or that my dad makes the decision, yes, or one of us. And my brother openly hates Miles. He openly can't stand Miles because Miles barks the whole time for no reason. He'll stand in the passage with nothing going on around him. He can hardly see. He can hardly hear. And he'll just go, oh!
So you know what happens? Joey's also deaf now. He's completely deaf and pretty blind. But because he doesn't have the stimulation factor of hearing other dogs bark and then he barks.
Yeah.
He's got nothing. So he just lets loose. He lets off some steam and barks when he wants to at nothing. So it could be that.
Yeah.
And also, what's quite difficult is having an old pet when you yourself haven't experienced old age. And it's just like they're old. They don't have to be put down. Just let them be old. They're going to be slow and their joints are going to be sore and they're going to go blind. But you'll know when it's time.
When I get like that, just put me down. Do me a favor.
No, I would prefer that too.
Yeah,
I'm serious. For euthanasia.
I think it's much more humane, and I don't want to get into a serious, heavy conversation on a Friday, for heaven's sake. But if I get like that, just put me down. Just take me to one of those.
I've arranged for that. Actually,
how do you arrange it though? Because it's not technically legal, so you have to have like a living will. So there's a do not resuscitate. But have you actually put instructions like take me out into the backyard and shoot me in the head or? Like what?
I have a person who I've spoken to.
Is it a gangster?
I don't want to say anymore, but this person will help me when I need to go. Now,
will you out and push you over a balcony or something?
No, it'll be euthanasia.
So that would give you all the drugs.
Well, the fact that you've even just had this conversation is such a Leanne thing.
Yeah,
of
totally.
Course,
yeah, no,
she has a person.
When you haven't been diagnosed with anything or planning on, well, one day I could.
She has a person. She has a person, Sia. There's a person whose job is this.
She's not vaguely thinking about it. She's actually acted. Leanne, gosh.
No, I've had the conversation. It's a done deal. And even when, but you know, I watched my poor gran, when she was compos mentis, she used to look at older people and say, please, when I get that, just get that old, just shoot me. And she couldn't stand it when she saw old people who had dementia or schizophrenia.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Not schizophrenia, sorry, dementia.
Senility, like they forget where they are. The Parkinson's is bad too. And you get those
and
Alzheimer's.
She got dementia.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's, thank you. She got dementia. And
it's horrible.
At the end, she was just saying, please let me go. Just please let me go. She
put her out of it.
She wanted to go a long time before that.
I don't want to be in a situation where there's no hope and they're keeping me alive just to keep me alive. That would be awful. And I said,
and that's what
I said,
they do.
But I said we weren't going to get into a serious conversation about this. I suppose it's inevitable. But I mean, this is interesting from Beth. She says you can go to Switzerland where euthanasia is legal. Nikita says move to New Zealand. Apparently, they've also made it legal there. And this is great for you, Sia. George says we are just like Sia's parents. We just drop our child off at school at prize givings or concerts, and we go home, and we have great uninterrupted sex. When asked, did we take pictures? We say, you were great, but our phones died.
George. Don't do that.
That's so good.
It's going to screw your kid up.
Isn't that funny? I love that. George and Sia's parents are my kind of people. That's why I don't have children. Neil says, my lady and I have an agreement. When one of us needs to go, we're going to go to a malaria-ridden area and the sane one will take malaria tablets. Euthanasia would be a lot easier, but they should make it legal. Yeah, but I mean, dying of malaria is not fun, hey? You don't want to die.
Oh, no.
Really, there are better ways to go.
I had a friend who died of malaria. It was horrible.
Oh, here's something interesting.
Not a good way to go.
Nikita says that there's a guy called Chris Nikic who became the first Down syndrome person to complete the Ironman in Florida. That's impressive. So there's a factoid we didn't know until this morning. Plenty of other good stuff that Leanne and Sia have for us to talk about, but I do want to just clear some space for John Sanai, who's going to join us just now. He's a futurist and author. I've actually been on the speaking circuit with him a couple of times, and he does these amazing presentations. But the reason we want to talk to him is because 2020 has got us thinking about a bunch of things that we weren't thinking about before. And how we're going to make it out of this slump is something he might be able to help you with this morning. He has taken time to look at what we can learn from the year and what we have headed towards us and what we can build going forward. So we're going to find out more from him in a minute. And he's written a new book about this called Future Next. So he's going to be our guest this morning. We've got George Meany coming on a little bit later on, as we always do for a Friday. Janet says, new rules for the drinking game. You have to take a shot when Leanne recalls an embarrassing event. When Gareth responds to anything with "that's just stupid," and Sia shakes his head with that "what the fuck" look.
Oh no, that's several times.
Yeah. It's so easy to shock Sia.
Yes. It actually, well, not anymore, hey? I mean, these days he's pretty weather-beaten and hardcore. He's like, he can handle
these days. I don't leave the house, so it's fine.
Yeah, yes. I was thinking about this.
I'm safe in here.
I went for lunch yesterday with somebody, and I noticed there are a lot of people around me, and I feel like all of us have become a little bit agoraphobic, you know, since we've been...
Yes, definitely.
Without a doubt, right? I mean, if I found myself in a crowd, let me think of the last time I was in a big crowd, probably when I went away last year, and I was at that Tomorrowland winter thing in France. That was a big crowd of people. There were thousands of people around. I don't know if I could do that right now. You know?
Mm.
I don't know that I'd be comfortable in that situation like I might have been a year ago. It would be very hard.
Pretty tough.
It'd be hard to kind of concentrate on things. All right. So we've got John Sanai on the line. Hey, John, how are you doing, dude? I haven't seen you in a while.
Yes. How's it? How are you doing?
Good. Switch on your video. We want to see you. There you are.
Yes.
Okay, so first of all, I haven't seen you for the whole of 2020, and you've been writing books and you've been busy, but it's been a hell of a year. How's it been for you?
Well, I was sitting in Amsterdam, and I got a string of 3 or 4 emails that cancelled my whole life ahead of me.
Jesus.
And so I had to move back from Dubai and London and relocate back to South Africa with family. I guess, you know, all our priorities changed.
Sure.
And I've written about this quite a lot. Our Maslow hierarchy of needs got turned upside down.
Sure.
And so prioritizations changed. So yes, everything changed. In fact, all my income left me. I had to write a brand new book. So yeah, everything kind of changed.
So dude, I mean, I've always liked your take on things because you do a lot of research and you try to compile out of all the different sources and you read a fortune and then you make it easy for us to just get a snapshot of all of that by putting it into your own books or doing a talk. And I've seen you do this before, and it's really, really interesting to see how, I mean, the most useful people in the world, in my opinion, are the people like you who can condense all of the stuff that you know into something that we can quickly get out of you for an hour or if we read through your book. And I always think that that's really, really helpful. What have you gathered from 2020? And especially because, again, you're a bit of a sponge, so you would have spent this year paying attention to surveys and statistics and research and interesting new developments, and you will have compiled something that can give us a much quicker route to knowing this information. So 2020, yeah. Most people are writing off. They're saying it's a disaster. It's just a mess. If you've learned anything this year, then, you know, good for you. And there are things to be gained, like time spent with family and, you know, learning to appreciate your surroundings a bit more and not always being in a hurry and not having to deal with traffic and all of that stuff. So there are positives that are fairly obvious, and we've discussed some of them on the show. But what are your top line lessons from 2020?
Well, I think we must really understand that if you're in a privileged position of having income, a roof over your head and some cash flow to see you going through, this has been a gift wrapped in sandpaper. If you haven't, it's just been sandpaper. So yes, there's very different sort of experiences of what's going on. So let's make sure. I don't want to give anybody that's had a really tough time any discredit.
Yeah, and you don't want to sound like one of those people who's like, oh, it's been a great year for me. I've learned so much. When someone else hasn't got a job anymore, you know?
Exactly. And I think it's unfair to do that. But The truth is that two things have happened. One, we have lost every inclination of any sort of certainty in our future. Our addiction to predictability and certainty has totally gone out the window. And organizations and people that are addicted to the certainty are going to be taking a lot of strain. And so we have to realize that even in our neuroplasticity, our brains are always looking for something called DPO, which is duration, path, and outcome. Mm-hmm. And right now, we don't know how long this is going to last, what's going to happen on the path, and what the outcome looks like. So yeah, there's this level of fatigue and panic and emotional stress that's going on. So we all need to be aware of that. The second thing is that we're moving from a complicated world to a complex one. And this is a fundamentally different way to show up as a individual or as a business. A complicated world is a world of linear innovation with patterns that repeat themselves. So you can utilize automation, mathematics, accounting, and Excel spreadsheets to work yourself out of a problem because these patterns are expected and repeat themselves.
Okay.
In a complex world, we're living in a world where there are patterns that don't repeat themselves. And this becomes the real tough thing for people to want to swallow, is that the difference between these two things is that when you go to the airport and you put your suitcase on a conveyor belt, the baggage, your luggage, gets to you in the most complicated, efficient way so that you can get your luggage on the plane. But yeah, the minute you get onto the plane, now you're living in a complex world. In other words, you have four engines when only one is enough. You have three pilots when only one is enough. You have eight operating systems when only one is enough. Why? Because up in the sky, you have no idea what's coming. So you prepare for complexity, not complications. And so here we are in a world today where people are trying to go back to some level of normality, which I think is the worst thing for us to do, because normality is just familiar. It wasn't good. It was just something we were used to.
Well, so many things that we were doing that were actually quite stupid. And if we go back to that just because we consider that to have been what we did before and it was normal, we're actually going backwards, literally and figuratively, and we're not helping ourselves. If you come out of a situation like this year and you haven't learned anything, and you don't do some things better, then really it's been a complete waste of time, and you may as well just be, you know, drowning in misery on Friday the 13th of 2020.
Yeah. Well, Gareth, let's just remember something, that this virus has mutated from a medical issue to a socioeconomic issue.
Sure.
A political issue, a cultural issue.
Absolutely.
And the truth is, we are only at the beginning of it. You know, we've still got another couple of years to go until things settle down, until we have the domino effects of all the bankruptcies and all the new habits and rituals that have been created through this lockdown. So we're nowhere near the end. So it's not about this year. It's about using this next chapter, this next sort of 18 months to 24 months, to really take the time to rethink what success looks like and what your impact in the world's going to look like post COVID-19. And that's a big question, you know, and that's stressing a lot of people out.
You used to travel a lot, and you just mentioned how you had to change your plans for 2020 and come back home. I mean, Chris says, I have to leave Dubai and come back to South Africa and give up 100,000 rand monthly salary because my passport's going to expire. It'll take a year to renew it in Dubai. So we're also seeing massive disruption in people's lives. There's obviously stuff that you can do something about, and then there's stuff that you can do nothing about. What have you gleaned from people who've really taken the bull by the horns and made the best of it?
Look, I think what happens is, I call it the survivor consciousness trigger points. What has happened is that we've all been triggered very personally, either into a drama triangle or into a creator triangle. And some people have taken this on as an unbelievable opportunity to rethink things. And other people have been...
Sounds like an attack now, John.
An attack? Why? No, no, no. Why? Okay. Maybe are you in the drama triangle? Sorry.
You know, sometimes we do need to flare up. Okay.
Oh,
we
deal hilarious. With
it like that.
And look, I write about this extensively, is that even myself, I was triggered into a drama triangle. And the drama triangle has got three characteristics. I feel sorry for myself. I feel sympathetic towards the world. Or I feel angry with the world. All three for you, Sia? Yeah, that's cool.
And the creative triangle?
And the creative triangle has got, instead of seeing this as a problem to me, I see it as an opportunity to bring something new to the world. Mm-hmm. Instead of being sympathetic, I can be empathetic. In other words, I can coach people around me. And from anger, I can become a challenger. And so it really has become a very personal situation where I've seen some of my friends crumble.
Yeah.
And I've seen some of my friends come alive. And so we must realize that this is only the beginning of these disruptions. This is going to be continuously becoming our reality moving forward. We have no idea what's coming next. And because of the socioeconomic domino effects and business domino effects that we're having around us, we must be ready for many, many more disruptions that are coming. So here's the whole point of the book and the research is that you can't predict the future anymore. The only thing you can manage is your behavior. And the point is how you make your behavior more optimistic.
I'm going to repeat that because you broke up a little bit and it's the internet's fault. You said the point is that you can't predict the future anymore. And then we lost you. Say that again.
You can't predict the future anymore. The only thing you can manage is your behavior.
Okay.
And so your behavior becomes the key in becoming adaptable, flexible, letting go of lost successes or past successes to rethink what we can do in the future. Now, remember, many of the narratives in our society were just the way it is when we had slavery, apartheid, women not voting, children in labor camps. And so we have to ask ourselves as conscious, smart human beings, what stories and narratives are we living right now that are just rubbish? And which ones do we need to let go of in order to be able to build a new one? So for me, it's this very personal story, but also a massively societal story that we need to open a conversation about and just discuss new ways and new possibilities to reimagine a new world.
Do you think that people have an ability to rise above and to do things about their behavior? Because not all of us do, and we've got to be realistic about this too. Some people are using coronavirus and the lockdowns as an excuse for everything, right? And it was bound to happen as well. We've got people who are hypochondriacs. We've got people who are looking for someone to blame for all the stupid things that are happening in their lives. And obviously, there's a certain amount of agency that you have to take on to yourself. There's a certain amount of decision-making power that you have to be accountable for. And for some people, that's really hard. John, I don't want to make excuses for them a second time when they're trying to make excuses for themselves the first time. But in all seriousness, this is probably the most challenging thing, certainly that our generation's been through.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And don't forget that these people are blaming everything right now. We're blaming other things before this. This is just a much deeper thing and a much broader thing you can blame. But it all comes down to your self-awareness, Gareth. I mean, if you are sitting in a stew of feeling sorry for yourself or angry for the world, you'll just continuously find different things to blame. It's because you're black, it's because you're white, it's because you're tall, it's because you're fat, it's because you're short. Yeah. There's just a million things you can go down this route in. So this is actually a challenge to us to become responsible for our perspectives, to heal our pasts and to create and reimagine a future. So yes, people can sit and stew. And unfortunately, what starts to happen is birds of a feather stick together, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is the dry you have next week is also full of people that are feeling sorry for themselves and shaming and blaming and being angry with the world. And the only thing that changes when you finish a bitching session like that is your blood sugar levels and your heart rate. And that's all that happens. And so really what we have to do is come together and try and fix these things.
Yeah, I know I've been a little bit guilty of that sometimes. I'm mostly an optimistic and very positive person, but sometimes if you're around certain people, you tend to get a little bit negative. It happens to all of us. And I've caught myself being the person who's being negative sometimes. And it's really unnecessary. It's up to you at every step of the way to decide whether or not you're going to be one of those people who pulls everything down, and I know I've been guilty of that, or when you're one of those people who pulls things up.
Look, I think it's impossible for us all to be Gandhi, you know, or Mother Teresa. So let's not try and be that. What I often do is I give myself some time to sulk. Just give yourself some time to sulk, time to go through the drama triangle, but then become aware that you're in it so that you don't continue wheel spinning in it, because that's what happens. You just continuously wheel spin
but
in
what do you scenario. What do you do? This is really important. What do you do to break out of that?
So two things. One, I call it mourning your future memories. So let's remember that your memories don't have time attached to them. They're from your past and from your future. They're timeless. Mm-hmm. So the best way to describe this is that if you've ever gone through a breakup, the thing that you mourn are the future plans you had with each other. The house you were going to build with each other, the holiday we're going to go on with each other. Those are future memories that you've had to let go of. They're not just from your past.
Yeah.
So as a society, and even in our individual capacities, our futures became postponed indefinitely, canceled, moved aside. And no matter what they were, they've just been taken away from us. And so it's really important for us to understand the five steps of mourning, you know, denial, anger, bargaining, grief, and acceptance, and just figure out where you are in this process. You know, I just for the last few weeks, I went through a massive level of grief. And I was actually explaining to my friends, this is a part of the process of me letting go of my future, because I went through anger and I went through bargaining and I went through denial. And then for the last 2 weeks, I was just very sad. And that was also okay. So the first thing is, mourn your future memories, look at what five stages you're in, mm-hmm. become okay with those five stages, but ultimately get yourself to a place of acceptance. Because once you get yourself to a place of acceptance, you catalyze yourself to think about something new and think about something, a new way to bring impact to the world.
And
the second thing is what I've already spoken about is, are you, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you. The second thing is?
No, it's the drama triangle and the creator triangle. You know, when I was writing the book, I realized that I was in a deep drama triangle. And Gareth, I think you'll relate to this. You know, we're both in the public eye and you're obviously a lot more famous than I am. But I was in a deep secret drama triangle when I used to see Simon Sinek get 25 million views on a video and John Sarnay would get 3,500. I would sit there feeling angry with the world, feeling sorry for myself. But this was just a very secretive story that I was playing inside my head. And so I started to realize that I had drama in certain aspects of my life and creator in certain others. And so when I became aware of it, I could adjust it. And to be honest with you, when I became aware of it and I adjusted it, the very next week, I got invited to speak with Yuval Harari on stage to 40,000 people coming through Russia.
What was that like, dude?
Look, unbelievable. I mean, to be involved, look, that's another gift of COVID, right? We've become borderless. Mm-hmm. And so just 2 days ago, I was on stage with Simon Sinek in India, with Yuval Harari 4 weeks ago in Russia. And so, yes, these things have opened up for us in massive, massive ways. So, look, coming back to future memories and drama triangle, these become two very, very key skill sets and tool sets that we need to become aware of and practice, because otherwise we're just going to be miff and upset all the time.
What did you glean from Sinek and Yuval Noah Harari? Because, I mean, these are two people who've been, you know, best-selling authors. They do talks all over the world, and you're on the same slate as them. That's got to count for something. But at the same time, you're also there listening. And many people pay, you know, thousands of dollars to be in the audience for these kinds of things, even virtually. What did you get from them? I mean, Yuval Noah Harari is amazing because he just seems to be able to take the big picture and something very complex and make it understandable.
So firstly, they get about $100,000 to $150,000 to be exact. So it is quite a lucrative process. Look, the thing that amazes me about Yuval Harari is that he does 60 days of silent meditation a year. He does 60. Vipassana, 60, 30 days at a time. And that access to his genius is obvious why it's happened, because he's almost like this channel for this incredible level of depth of knowledge. And so what fascinates me about these people that I share stages with is obviously I've been exposed to all their work and I love it. And maybe even to a certain extent, they're overexposed because they don't have that much of a breadth of things to say. So if you've watched three interviews with Yuval Harari, you understand what he has to say, and Simon Sinek the same. What for me fascinates me is their process. You know, I like to understand what has gotten them to that way of thinking and that way of dissecting the world. And Yuval Harari, I'm a fan of his veganism, his gayness, his Israeliness, his meditationness, all of these things that are just make him such a fascinating and conscious human being, you know? Yeah. So yeah, it's been fascinating being with them. And obviously because of COVID, it's opened up many doors, you know, so I'm very happy. I see. Is this George from Auto Trader?
It is. George.
George, what's up, dude?
Last time,
hey, John, how are you?
Last time I saw John was actually when he spoke at your Auto Trader event. I think it was last year.
Look at that.
Ah, yes. Long time. It feels like 250 years ago, to be honest.
brain knows no time.
Well,
exactly.
Listen, John, good luck with the book Future Next, John Sarnay, and you can find out more by reading his book, obviously, and you're obviously back on the speaking circuit, even though it's virtually, right?
Yeah, busier than ever. And good. I think more people needing some sort of direction more than ever. So yes, very busy and enjoying the process, you know. So just quickly, 19th of November is our book launch. So if you want to register, please reach out to me on social media. We're having a hybrid launch with a massive LED screen with lots of people on Zoom on it and
awesome.
Also a small live audience. So yeah, please join up. And thanks very much for having me.
That's
guys.
Amazing, dude. Thanks so much for
Thank
sharing
you.
Your thoughts with us. It's always good to see you. There's John.
Thank you.
It's great. How are you, George? What's happening with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, good news, Gareth.
Yeah. Yeah, Friday. I mean, I have nothing to complain about. By the way, Leanne apologizes. Yeah, she had to go and like rescue one of the pets or something, so she's not here anymore. So, George, what's going on, dude?
Well, have you heard of this thing called the Hyperloop, right, Gareth?
This is Elon Musk's high-speed rail transport solution for California.
Yes, and he's pretty much given away the technology, or because he doesn't have time to do all the stuff that he comes up with. So Richard Branson is doing the same thing.
Who's that? Richard Branson. I've never heard of him. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, we're actually serious.
No, I love to test people. You take an obviously well-known name like that, and you're like, who? And people go, what? You can't be that fucking stupid, Gareth.
You did bump me for a second, but then I realized you were doing it on purpose.
No, I heard, I... No, it's never mind. Okay.
What did you hear, Sia?
I heard Richard Manson. So I thought, wait, is that like... the dude related to Charles Manson? Is there some sort of like killer thing happening underneath the ground? Is that... No, that's where my mind went. Three people, three right. varied responses.
Let me just get back to the story. So Elon Musk is too busy with SpaceX and Tesla and everything else. So he doesn't have time for the Hyperloop as well. So now he's gonna hand that technology over to whoever wants it.
Yeah. Yep. So Richard Branson's done the same thing called the Virgin Hyperloop. And the first passenger tests have just been done. Now, you know, the Hyperloop is a high-speed levitating pod system that uses magnets mm-hmm. to allow the train or the cart to float.
George, we're all very scientifically literate here. We all know what maglev is. Don't go and show off now. You know, there's no need for you to do that.
Very much.
Maglev.
Yes, yeah, like Marilyn Manson.
So Richard Branson's also got one, and they've tested it with a passenger. Is the passenger still alive?
Passenger's still alive, and they're running over 400 tests, and this particular test with the human being inside, they reached 172 kilometers an hour. So they're going to do more of these tests, but they expect, and this thing travels at 966 kilometers an hour, apparently New York to Washington in 30 minutes.
That's why I asked if he's still alive, because you know if you were going that fast, normally humans are not built to go that fast. It's great, though. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. So great success.
So the company is working towards safe certification by 2025, which is only in 4 years' time.
Oh, all right.
Full operation by 2030.
Okay.
And then I don't know if you remember, I didn't remember this until I looked it up, but back in a couple of years ago, 2018, Elon Musk was April Fool pranked with a picture of him lying next to one of his Teslas with a bunch of bottles of tequila lying around him. And somebody had photoshopped the tequila bottles and called it Tesla-quila. I don't know if you recall that.
Don't tell me.
And cut a sign saying bankrupt. Yeah. And so he's taken it seriously. They've actually protected the word Tesla-quila, and they have now produced Tesla-quila at $250 per bottle, 4,190 Rand.
Oh,
and
guess
it's
what?
Been aged for 15 months in French oak barrels.
Guess what?
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 A friend of mine has bought me a bottle of it, and they're bringing it to South Africa.
No.
That is a good friend.
That's a good friend.
You do not let that person go anytime soon.
So I will have a bottle of Tesla-quila on the show at some point.
Love
it. Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Tequila's a really good drink. I mean, people think you only have to drink tequila as a shot. You don't.
No.
Put some tequila with tonic water, a few slices of lemon or lime, and you got yourself a long drink.
You could just drink it like whiskey as well. If it's really good, if it's añejo, and you were saying this has been aged in oak barrels for, 14 months?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's called añejo tequila, A-N-E-J-O. And añejo is the most well-aged, well-rounded, gentle, and quite smooth version of, you know, it's not that blanco shit that people drink when, you know, they've run out of the gold. You never drink the silver. You drink the gold as shots, and the añejo you drink like whiskey. It's really, really fantastic. It tastes lovely. It doesn't have that ugly after kick that a lot of cheaper and nastier tequilas have. And it's beautifully, beautifully made. And I have no doubt that this will have been done properly, because why would Elon want, even as a joke, to put his name on something that was rubbish? And it'll be a limited edition. There obviously won't be a lot of these available, because they're not going to make it as an ongoing product.
Well,
listen to how varied this morning's power pod is.
I know. We're talking about Hyperloops, tequilas.
Okay.
But the interestingly, so far the golden thread is Elon Musk.
Yep. Uh-huh. The golden thread is Elon Musk. Well, I mean, I'm a huge fan of his, mm-hmm. you know, even if he kind of goes off the rails every now and again.
Sure.
But yes, there's a limited quantity, and you've got a very good friend, because you are only allowed to buy two bottles.
Yep. Well, he doesn't drink tequila, but he knows I do. Oh. So that's
okay.
What he's getting me.
Okay.
It's a hell of a Christmas present.
So that's Tesla Keeler. And then different story, an Aston Martin owner mm-hmm. In Canada crashed his Aston Martin into a rock.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
And took it to a repair shop. The initial bill for the repair of this Aston Martin, now, you know, the DB9 is a limited edition
magic
sports car.
And what a car. George, you know, I don't often go gaga over cars, but that Aston Martin DB9 is just, I know you love it too. It is beautiful.
So he crashed this thing into a rock, got the repair bill from the repair shop, 1.3 million rand to repair this Aston Martin. In his wisdom, decided this Canadian that this repair bill was inflated and took the repair shop to court.
Oh, yeah?
Lost the case.
Uh-oh.
Ended up with legal bills, including the repair bill, of 5.1 million rand. What's the moral of the story?
Yeah, moral of the story is don't sue people unless you know you can win.
Exactly.
This guy is stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Should have got Marilyn Manson's here.
I think I need a tequila.
Sorry. It actually wasn't that original. It really wasn't. Okay.
I know. I wasn't laughing at any stage of your joke. So, yes, I completely agree.
I'm laughing at Gareth, not laughing.
All right, go ahead, George. What else?
And then lastly, Amazon delivery driver.
Yeah.
And this has happened a few times on the planet, where delivery drivers actually take the pin location of the delivery point literally. And the Amazon delivery driver drove onto a golf course and wedged his delivery car into a tunnel that was only meant for golf carts.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. No. But, you know, people, I've noticed with GPS, when people use Waze or whatever to get where they're going, sometimes these GPS things get it wrong, but people don't apply their own mind. They don't think about, like, common sense stuff that you would have thought about when you were still using a map book in the old days, or if you use your eyes. If it says go left, but your destination is on the right and there's an entrance on your right, people are like, no, well, if Waze says, then I've got to go all the way around. And they'll drive around like the Vaal Dam because the Waze tells them to, even though they were right there.
Well, I've got a friend who has a a holiday house or a weekend house at the Witbank Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I went there, I used Google Maps to try and get there. And Google Maps took me his house was on the other side of the dam. Yep. Google Maps took me to this end of the dam and told me that I have to somehow get across this dam.
Yeah, like you needed a ferry or something.
Yes.
It's not helpful. So sometimes being like just, you know, using common sense is actually way better than technology. It's rare, but it does occasionally occur.
Don't blindly follow a GPS. They're not always right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's like you should never ever take directions from a wife or a girlfriend if you know already how to get there yourself.
Oh, don't think so.
Because if you don't get there, the passenger's going to blame you in the end anyway.
Uh-huh. All right, what else?
That's it.
That's it. That's all you got time for today. That's it. That's George. All right, George. Are you doing any flying this weekend?
I want to go and do that tomorrow morning. It's a beautiful day today. It's been raining all week, so I haven't been able to fly anywhere. So tomorrow's the same, and the weather's perfect to fly, to be honest.
Well, I'm very excited. I've got one friend who got his commercial pilot's license. He passed the test this week. And I've got another friend who's doing a helicopter license. So soon, George, I will be flying as a passenger with those two, and I will be flying with you in these exciting places. I'll just come along for the ride.
That's the ultimate test of friendship.
Yeah, I'm not worried. As long as they've got the tests, they've done the hours, I'm good with it. And then I'll join them.
I mean, my airplanes have parachutes, so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Thanks for that. Okay. That's always nice. Full trust in George. Just remember where the parachutes are. All right, everybody, have a happy day. We will see you on Monday bright and early at 6 o'clock, and keep all of your listening to cliffcentral.com. We've got plenty to keep you amused, entertained, informed, all the stuff that you want to know. Just go and look around, and there's always new stuff being added to the website. So if you're looking for content, maybe you've got a long drive like I do to the bush now today, and I'm going to be listening to podcasts, and you can do that too. It's always good. By the time you get there, you're not only invigorated with new ideas and interesting aspects of people's thoughts and the way that they put things together, and you can listen to all the interesting guests that we've had on cliffcentral.com in the last couple of weeks, months, even before lockdown. There's plenty of good material. But you also end up being, you know, a little more awake. Sometimes if you're driving and you're concentrating and you're listening to something, you're actually more likely to be paying attention to your surroundings. You're not, if it's music, it can sometimes make you a bit sleepy or a bit distracted. So it's a good thing to listen to this stuff. Thank you, George. Thank you, Sia. I will catch you on Monday morning. Okay. Have an excellent weekend, everybody. Be good. CliffCentral.com.